Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, December 29th, 2014. And on today's podcast, we will do what we traditionally do in the last week of the year, and that is review 2014. First, today, from foreign policy standpoint. Then on Wednesday, hopefully, from a domestic standpoint. But today, we look at foreign policy first at the Middle East, and we ask ourselves, what is the defining ideology in the Middle East? What defined 2014? And of course, that is jihadism. Jihadism defines the Middle East even today, to some extent the entire world, but certainly the Middle East. That is the best example of it would be the rise of the Islamic State, which was the big news of 2014. The rise of the Islamic State, announcing it has formed a caliphate in the Middle East, across the Levant, across Iraq and Syria. Syria torn between three forces, the Islamic State forces, the other rebel forces opposed to Mr. Assad, and the Assad forces, with all the other outside countries chipping in to turn Syria into nothing but a pile of rubble, this ancient land. This is the dominant factor in the Middle East, with many people involved now: Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, even Iran involved in it. 97% of the airstrikes against the Islamic State, though, still conducted by the United States. So jihadism and the rise of the Islamic State, the big news for 2014. Widespread civil war still goes across the Middle East. And, of course, the price of oil has affected Iran and affected the other oil-producing states in the Middle East. We also note that in December 28th, U.S. and NATO forces ended their combat roles in Afghanistan. They are going to reduce down to 10,000 U.S. troops and 2,000 NATO troops, and that will continue for at least 10 more years, we are told. Well, these troops being left are supposed to train the Afghan army. 150,000 plus U.S. troops in 13 years of war could not get this army trained, but 10,000 are supposed to do it. We will see war continues across Afghanistan and Pakistan with terrorist attacks there constantly. Well, that is the Middle East. Moving on then to Russia. Russia and Europe. First in Russia, trouble in the collapsing Russian economy. The price of oil catastrophic to Russia, as we know, since June, falling 50% and still going down. I passed a station yesterday in my city of Memphis, Tennessee, $1.99 a gallon. That is a catastrophe to Russia and its one-dimensional economy. Perhaps it's the price of oil that has brought Russia to the bargaining table to some extent, making deals in Ukraine, prisoner swaps now, and it has resumed coal shipments to the Ukraine so that they can power their utility plants. Germany says it opposes additional sanctions on Russia, but the U.S. keeps the pressure on, and it has brought about some deterioration in U.S.-Russia relations. The treaty, the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, to restrict intermediate-range nuclear weapons and try to keep them out of Europe, negotiated between Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan back in the mid-80s. That treaty seems to be breaking down as the U.S. says it wants to install these missiles in Europe, and Russia says, okay, we will put them in Crimea. We'll see what happens there, folks. But Europe, across Europe, economic troubles continue to dominate the news. Debt continues to dominate the news. Austerity breaking down and not working, and the countries across Europe giving way to money pumping again from the European central banks. Debt piling up in Greece, in Spain, in Portugal, and in Italy, even Germany struggling. And also the news in Russia now, the rise of the anti-immigration parties, especially in Germany, these parties coming together under a central heading called the Pegida, or Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West. These people are usually referred to as extremist or extreme right because they oppose the Islamization of their countries. But that is the big news in Europe now, in the Far East. China rising, China making deals to support Russia, Venezuela, Iran, and also Argentina, despite U.S. sanctions. The Argentine economy would be coming apart if it wasn't for Chinese help. Russia on its knees, but China says we will help. And the Venezuelan economy already collapsed. China says we will help. This is so obviously an effort by the Chinese, the Russians, and others to put together an anti-dollar coalition, you know, across our history. If you look at the history of the world, many despotic countries, many socialist, many communist economies would have collapsed and died long ago unless they had some patron saint pumping money into them. Russia, with its one-dimensional economy, with the price of oil, might collapse. But with oil being stable, Russia can support other economies, but they cannot support themselves. They are not viable. But they have these patron countries to give them money. In Japan, the Prime Minister, Mr. Abe, money pumping is his thing. He knows no other alternative. He's been doing this. Japan has been doing this since 1989. It hasn't worked. Now Japan pumping trillions of yen into the Japanese economy. It doesn't seem to be working because there are fundamental problems. It is a structural problem, as Mr. Jim Rickards always points out in his book, The Death of Money. It's not a business cycle. It is a structural problem. It won't be solved until that problem is changed. But these people can't allow that. They cannot allow any deflation because deflation kills governments. It kills taxes, and they can't allow it. Of course, the Koreas, North Korea, still aggressive, still having its problems, involved in the Sony hacking and all that stuff. But there are rumors. There are rumors that North and South Korea are talking. They're talking about some form of reunification. We will see if that happens in the near future. The main news in the Middle East, China's anti-dollar coalition. That is the way I see it, folks. China joining forces with the people that the United States is sanctioning or trying to, along with many others, to form an anti-dollar coalition to replace the dollar as a reserve currency with kind of a basket of currencies, one of which would be China. In Africa, the news is terrorism. Terrorism across Africa, from Boko Haram in Nigeria, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, and Al-Qaeda in North Africa, all across North Africa. The news is terrorism. And also, the big news for the year, of course, Ebola in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guyana. The news now seems to be that Ebola is subsiding somewhat, at least in Liberia, but still going strong in Sierra Leone. In Latin and South America, Argentina, led by its president, Cristina Fernandez, over a cliff, economically speaking. The Argentine economy collapsing, at least on the edge of collapse, and on the edge of hyperinflation, threatening militarily, threatening the Falklands again. But China says, we will help you, don't worry. We will help you. You've done some really stupid things, and you've about collapsed your own country, but we will help you. Venezuela, the same thing. Nicolas Maduro taking over for Hugo Chavez after his death has led Venezuela right to the bottom of the barrel and destroyed its only industry, that being oil. Now the United States placing sanctions on Venezuela. In Latin America, in Nicaragua, the Chinese canal to replace the Panama Canal. The Chinese canal started construction December 22nd, 5 or 6 years projected for that canal to be finished. Latin American countries, along with Mexico, still continue to encourage their poor and unemployed north to move north into the United States to take their poverty, their disease, and their unemployment problems to America. Thanks to President Obama's invitation, Mexico in 2014 opened up its oil industry. Since its industry was collapsing, it opened it up to foreign investment, to foreign oil companies selling leases to them. That is big news from Mexico. Well, folks, that is a very brief, very quick view around the world for 2014. What will 2015 bring? Who knows, folks? Who knows? Let's pray that it's something better. At least that's the way I see it. Till next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.